Tonys, a monthly feature on KYMN Radio, is produced by Art Makers, bringing together artists with disabilities and local professional and student artists to create art together and build community. And now your hosts, Andrew Rosso and Betsy Spethman.
Welcome to Tonys. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so pleased to be here. It's a privilege, and I'm just very excited.
Oh, we're so thrilled to have one of our favorite musicians and mathematicians talking with us today. So
yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, if you put the two together, there might not be so much competition. I don't know. I think you're very brave to pull out math and music as the topics together, yeah. Because they both get rather technical, but like, why do you even think there might be something which would join them together? I hesitate to say a connection.
Sure.
Like, lots of people seem to think this, but why on earth would anybody think that that math and music should have some connection?
Andrew, do you have a thought about that?
Some pianos have 88, some pianos have 61.
Keys on them?
Yeah.
You are so good. I think I did know there were 88 keys on the piano keyboard, but if you asked me without you saying that, I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
And so, Peter, do you learn music by ear then?
No, I don't. I read from, well, it depends what it is, actually, because in the jazz context, I may learn things from by ear, but I'm not very good at doing that. Some people are really expert at doing that sort of thing. And if you learn something by ear, then I think you get to know it very well and you forget it less easily. But I learn things by reading off something which is written on paper. And sometimes that thing which is written on paper is a transcription that I have made of a song that I have heard, and I transcribe it and put it down on paper. But I read music, and that's the first way I was trained to learn how to play the piano and to learn music. It's reading from notation like that. But then when I'm performing music, when I'm playing music, I'm not just reading off a piece of paper. In fact, if I were just doing that, it would be very difficult, because if the music gets very complicated, then it's hard to take everything in off the piece of paper. And so you go from other, I go from other things. I go from memory, which is a memorization of what my fingers are doing at the keyboard, a muscle memory, if you will. And I also go by what the music sounds like.
When you talk a little bit about starting with the music and then making notations from it, that feels like you have to know the music really well to be able to write down what the notes are. Is that something that you learned as you had more experience as a musician?
It's got better as I've got more experience. Become easier for me as I've got more experience, and also practice transcribing things. And I've done quite a lot of transcription, especially in the context of performing jazz, because you don't necessarily have written out music available to you to play from, like something that somebody else has transcribed. Maybe a melody, there may be a tune there, and I may write that down. And perhaps before that, I might focus on the rhythm of what is going on and try and get that sorted out. But I did also transcribe as a teenager, because I had to come up with music for various circumstances. Sometimes I would have to come up with music that I was putting together myself. I remember once we did a production at school. I was going to say it was a play, but it wasn't really a play. It was a dramatization of some aspects of Alice in Wonderland, let's put it that way. And there was a team of people, and we were all students at the school. And somebody was writing a script for it, and somebody was kind of directing it, and I was in charge of putting together music for it. And so I had to draw on music from various sources, and we had to perform it. So there was several of us doing this. I was on the keyboard, and there were some other people playing things. But you have to come up with music for something. And some of that is making up your own music, and other parts of it is copying what you hear and what you think might be suitable.
It sounds like there's a really interesting connection for you too, not only with sort of music and the kinds of music that you're hearing and the music that you're composing yourself, but also music and drama. And so music that goes along with another kind of a performance, a story, for example. Can you talk a little bit about some of the music that you've been doing that's connected to drama?
Well, these days I play in the theater a fair bit. And it's an awful lot of fun to play with the musical theatre and musicals, you know. So probably each year I'm doing something. Recently, I've done two things. One of them was the production of Peter and the Starcatcher, which went on here not so long ago, and I was on keyboard for that. Before that, I was in Fabo. I was directing the band for La Cage aux Folles, which was a tremendous experience. And I've now played in quite a lot of musicals, and I really enjoy it because it's fun. I like the live aspect of it. Like, you have to be quite sharp about what you're doing, and you have to come in really sharply. So somebody, there's some action on stage, some actor is doing something on stage. You have to coordinate that thing. There will be times when I'm conducting a pulse, there might be four beats before people come in, and it's got to come in at exactly this moment after somebody has said something, which means I have to start conducting before person has finished what they're saying, and I have to anticipate. And if they happen to pause and take longer than usual, then I'm in trouble doing that. So this kind of live action, I find quite exciting. Everybody in the theatre, you know, is pulling together. All the performers, everybody is pulling together for this performance, and somehow the attention goes on that rather than the wrong notes you might play or something of that kind.
It sounds like it's a really different kind of energy too when you're performing with others, and there's that group aspect and the dynamic between the musicians and the actors versus a solo performance where the whole spotlight is all on you and all the pressure is on you. It sounds like just a different kind of a dynamic.
It is. It is a different kind of dynamic, and I prefer the theater kind of dynamic. To be honest.
Well, and to be able to share your experience of the pleasure of performing in ways that doesn't carry that same level of stress that some methods of performing do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Andrew, it reminds me a little bit. Andrew, do you mm-hmm. remember when we went to that exhibit at the Minnesota Historical Society and they had?
Oh, yeah.
And it
Tell
was
me
a home.
About that.
So, Peter, it was called, I think it was called Home. And it was set up, it was the replication of an actual home that in...
Oh, you mean the History Center?
Yeah. And there was, do you remember this, Andrew? And so you walk kind of walk through the exhibit.
Oh, yeah, where the keyboard would say, yep. Where the keyboard would say, just don't ask me to play. And then the bed would like, I would like shoot up from under you.
Yeah, so... The bed part was kind of funny, and that was in one of the rooms in the exhibit, Peter, where if you sat down on the end of the bed, it sort of broke because the bed was famous for breaking in this family. But in the parlor, living room of the exhibit, there was a piano, and there was information about a woman who lived with this, in this, was a member of this family and lived in the home, who was a fabulous pianist, but she would not play even for family members, even in their home, because she had such strong stage fright.
And kind of like Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand has stage fright?
Big time.
Is that right?
Yep.
So you're in good company, Peter.
Well, the thing to do is get rid of the stage fright. But I think quite a number of performers, distinguished pianists who have stage fright, I wonder how anybody would manage like that, because if you have stage fright, it affects what you can do on stage. And I wouldn't think people would perform their best if they're suffering from stage fright.
So, Peter, let's talk a little bit about math, because that's...
Yeah, well, I was wondering about the math, yeah.
Yeah, that's the other piece of your universe. Tell us a little bit about how you came to math and about your work teaching.
So I'll tell you the story about math, but you could almost substitute music and it would be the same. So from more or less as long as I can remember, I felt comfortable with math and been intrigued by it. And at a stage where I was doing things along with other people, doing mathematics along with other people who was doing mathematics, like when I was at school, you know, I came to realize that it was something that I could do, and I was comfortable with it, and perhaps more easily than some other people, because I know plenty of people have trouble with mathematics, and I didn't. So it strikes some people some ways, and it strikes other people different ways, and that's just how it is. Be 5 years old, perhaps, I would work through a book of an arithmetic book. It was adding up things and subtraction and so forth, and it might seem pretty sort of dull, but I actually enjoyed it. And then going through school, somehow things clicked with me that sort of way. And just enjoying it is not quite enough, because you have to have a little bit more. You have to have some curiosity about things. But that curiosity has stayed with me. When I finished with high school, and then I was going to go to university of some kind, I had a choice. The choice was between music and mathematics. I chose mathematics for a number of reasons. One of them was I did have the perception that it's easier to make a career in mathematics than it is in music. But there was another thing about it, which is that I felt I did not know how far I could get doing mathematics, like what my capabilities were. And I wanted to take it further in a more demanding sort of way. Whereas I felt I could see where the music would lead and how far I would get with that. And so the mathematics was more of an unknown thing at that time. And I wanted to test that out.
It sounds like that almost comes back to what you were talking about, curiosity, you know, that being curious is an important sort of aspect of mm-hmm. pursuing music and pursuing performance too. And that it was the curiosity piece of it that made you choose mathematics when you were looking at university.
When I was 5 years old, and music was making sense to me, I was, and I realized with hindsight, and I was sort of then going through my teenage years, and there was elements of curiosity in that as well, like figuring out things, how to provide music for this school production and so forth. You know, you have to kind of think outside the box a little bit.
And maybe that's where some of the connection is the sort of problem solving. The connection between music and math is the that sort of problem solving aspect.
I think there is a connection there, but perhaps with other things as well, because there's an element of creativity about both those activities. With mathematics, people might find it surprising to hear that if they're not mathematicians. But with the mathematics that I do, it's all about creativity, thinking of new things and things that people haven't done before and stuff like that. And you really have to use your imagination. Why do we even like music? Why are we curious about it? Yet music is something which everybody engages in. Like in our society as we are, it's hard to think of somebody who doesn't have music as part of their life in some way or another. To some extent, one can ask similar sorts of things about mathematics, although it's less, there's more of a utilitarian thing with mathematics. You can use it to steer ships and build buildings. In my mathematics, I specialize in symmetry. It's really intriguing. Symmetry is something which everybody appreciates. It's pervasive at all levels. Again, throughout society, there is an appreciation of symmetry, and symmetry makes its appearance in designs that people have or in things in the natural world that we see around us. And so, you know, here is a similarity.
Right, right, exactly. And the notion, too, that music transcends our differences, and that music has been a part of the human experience for all of those centuries, as you say, 10,000 years ago. And that symmetry also is a kind of a universal experience, too. It feels like maybe those are one of, as you say, similarities of how they can affect all humans. There's something that can be an aspect in the life of every human, and that transcends the differences that we have with each
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely. That's a really important thing, the remarkable thing that it does transcend the differences that we have. As you say, we can all come together through music. Andrew, I'm aware that you have a curiosity about mathematics. I know you have an appreciation for mathematical jokes, and some of my best material comes because you have told me. When I'm teaching a class, sometimes I tell them jokes that you have told me, and they go Yes. down very well. You have a mathematical sense of humor. I think you're less interested in finding an absolute solution to whatever this problem is, and more interested in the process and the ridiculous things that you can then conjure up in this mathematical yeah. world. There's a Peanuts cartoon, which I have on the wall of my office. And I think it's Lucy who is doing a math problem. She's sitting at a desk and she's holding a piece of paper. She's reading a question, and the caption is, "Only in math can you buy 60 cantaloupes, and no one asks what on earth's wrong with you." You have an appreciation of exactly this thing, that if you take logic to its conclusions, it may be ridiculous as far as the real world is concerned.
Peter, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Townies, a monthly feature on KYMN Radio with host Andrew Rosso and Betsy Spethman. Townies is produced by ArtMakers, bringing together artists with disabilities with local professional and student artists to create art together and build community. Tune in on the first Thursday of each month for Townies.